Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Coach Bill, coming to you from the Big Apple, New York, on this Wednesday, January 11th. Hope everybody is settling into the new year, 2017. The boys are back for another week, as I will once again be joined by Brett McCormick, the elite recruiting analyst from the All-Star Girls Report, hopefully here in a minute, as we will look to get you caught up on the latest pledges across the women's college basketball over the last week or so, and then also we'll have Brett recap his coverage of last weekend's New Year's resolution that went down here in the New Jersey area, and Brett covered that, so we'll look to get you all caught up. We're going to pretty much have a brief show compared to normal for us and pretty much keep it relegated to about an hour, maybe even a little bit less. As we look to just get you caught up and then move on. There's certainly a lot of big college basketball games going on right now as well. I know I will certainly be looking to get back and check on those. But with no further delay, let's reach out and bring in my right-hand man, Brett McCormick. Brett, how are you?
Yes, sir. Happy New Year, Coach Bill. I hope you're doing well.
I'm plugging along and plugging along with having you right by my side as we enter another week here with Ladies' Night and try and get the country caught up on pledges and then certainly get your recap of the New Year's resolution event that went down in New Jersey. So with no further delay, let's jump right into it, Brett, and let's talk about...
Well, you know what? I didn't make it to the New Jersey New Year's resolution. I had to do a family thing on Friday night, and I was going to go in there on Saturday, but then I think they got some snow in the area, so I just decided not to chance it with all the snow. And so I just went to Chicago. There was a tournament in Chicago, so I went up to Chicago on Saturday and saw that instead.
All right. So, well, how about that, Brett? Yeah. Certainly, I know all about that snowstorm that came. I certainly got my fair share of shoveling in and tweaked my back a little bit, so certainly I remember that storm very well, but as you are relentless, you didn't make it to Jersey, but you made your way up to Chicago, and certainly you have coverage for us and what you saw at that event. So while you were detoured, you certainly were not kept off the road, because nothing can stop Brett McCormick.
That's right. And but yeah, there's been a few commitments and a few kids, you know, like after Christmas too, I did a little different route. Sometimes I like to go different, even though sometimes there might not be as much talent. Like I went to Missouri after Christmas, and I actually went up to another tournament in Chicago after Christmas too, a different one and on out to, because it was kind of a closer proximity to me. And then this weekend I'm going to go to Atlanta. But I'm kind of torn, because it's hard to get where you need to get when you want to get. So I'd love to go to the Rose Classic, actually, but I may go to up to the Classic in the country on Sunday and Monday, I guess, maybe. So we'll see. Somewhere though.
Sounds like you're still a little unsure, but we know that you'll certainly be out somewhere, as you always are. But
that's right.
Hey, Brett, we obviously both referenced the pledges, and no better place to start than what's gone down on in South Bend, Indiana, as Muppet McGraw over the last few days, the last week or so, has kind of brought in a couple of stud guards, one for next year and then one for 2 years from now. So why don't you get us caught up?
Oh, yeah, and you know what? I almost forgot about that because I was thinking about the Notre Dame had two 2018 guards, but I forgot that Lee Thompson, yeah, is coming to Notre Dame. And, yeah, that was kind of a different situation there that she acted like she really wasn't going to play anymore or maybe try for the pro draft, and then she committed to Notre Dame. So she's a proven guard. I like her. I remember the story on her. I remember when she was between her junior and senior year, I had been talking to Tara Vanderveer and her staff, and they said, why don't you come out to our elite camp this summer? So I went out there that particular summer, and she happened to be there. And I'd seen her play before, but it had been a while. And I saw her play against the Stanford girls, the players. And I thought, wow, this kid's really going to be good. And she jumped right in there from day one as a freshman and did a super job. And they're losing, Notre Dame's losing Lindsay Allen. There's no reason why she can't be the point guard next year then.
Well, and here's the irony of the whole thing, too, is that Lele Thompson, you know, was a big part of Stanford upending Notre Dame last year in the NCAA tournament and sending them home. And then, like you say, you know, as you referenced, you know, she decided this offseason that she, you know, she didn't really want to, you know, play this season. So, you know, it certainly left her future up in the air, and nobody knew what was going on with her. And then kind of all of a sudden, at least from my vantage point, you know, she's now winding up where she's heading out to Muppet and South Bend, and as you say, is going to take the baton from Lindsay Allen, obviously one of the premier point guards in the country. So you would figure they won't skip too much of a beat in passing that baton. And then, so that's obviously a major deal because they have, while they recruited Allie Patberg a couple of years ago, and she was the freshman last year and then tore her ACL, you know, early in the season and missed all last year and had a tough start to this season with some health issues, including mono. It looks like she's starting to get back on track, including their last game. She actually looked pretty good getting some extra minutes. But certainly this gives them even more insurance and a really top-flight caliber point guard, certainly in Lele Thompson. And then you'll also tell us about now Lele Thompson will be passing the baton to a premier point guard out of Georgia in the 2018 class. So tell our audience the big news for Notre Dame as far as the 2018 pledge.
Well, yeah, they got two guards, because they got Caitlin Gilbert before, you know, the in-state kid, and now they've added Jenna Brown, the 5'9", 5'10". I call her like a power guard. She's got the strong college body. She scores in all different ways. Good basketball IQ. Good kid. So their backcourt set with those. Well, Lele next year, and then those other two when they come in the 18-19 season. So yeah, Jenna. I think she played for the team elite pointer. Then she played for the champions, the EYBL champions this year. I believe so. That's why I kind of call her a power guard because she is so big and strong already and, great skill set. And so Notre Dame's off to a great start in the 18 class. Everybody has them ranked different, but I got Gilbert like number 10 and Brown number 12. So pretty much they probably got two top 10 guards right there to start off with. Both of them are both big guards too, you know, 5'10", 5'11 guards. And they're always kind of a matchup problem. So, yeah, the Irish are really, on the roll here for the future.
Yeah, they're reloading. And, you know, the rich get richer. And, you know, certainly, Brett, a couple months back when it was, you know, in November and specifically at signing day and the major decisions by, Avina Westbrook and also Megan Walker, they both spurned Notre Dame. And Westbrook went to Tennessee and Walker to Connecticut, and we were like, whoa. You know, obviously it seemed like Notre Dame was a little bit, reeling a little bit as far as backcourt aces moving forward. But the rich always get richer usually, and so now they add Lele Thompson for – for next year, so they get a potential stud guard there. And then, as obviously we're now talking about, they get Gilbert and Brown for 2018, so they are certainly reloading in the backcourt to go with, you know, obviously they have sophomore studs and Mabry and Ogun Bunwale already, and, you know, so certainly the rich continue to get richer. And, again, this was just a big, you know, week to 10 days for Notre Dame and Muffet McGraw as they get, again, Lele Thompson for next year to take the baton from Lindsey Allen at the point guard position. And then they obviously added two, you know, elite guards in Caitlin Gilbert and Jenna Brown. So that'll certainly be a little dynamic duo for them that way. And then they also have the Prochaska kid, right, from Ohio, that, you know, the wing, the power wing, you know, from your backyard there, that committed, what was he? She committed, what, over the summer, I believe? And, you know, so she's
Probably at the end of the summer, maybe early fall, end of summer, lefty. She's a lefty, strong, and, you know, high motor kid. And that's what I was thinking about, too. You know, they got the guards now, and they got the wing, and they got the two post players coming in this year. I mean, you know, the 17 kids, and they may look to get maybe get another post that's more like Christina Nelson, more of a true five player. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
true
a straight,
center.
Bigger, straight five player. Yeah, they could get that, then I think they'd be pretty set.
I tell you, a girl who, you know, and you and I, obviously, you've had, you know, a standing relationship with Neil Ivey, and I have one that's growing with her. I tell you, a girl that they should, I know that you and I are both high on, that's really been surging over the last few months, that they should give, because we both know how hard it is, you know, and how rare true centers are certainly out there, you know, in today's basketball. But our girl Rochelle Norris out of the DMV wouldn't be a bad little look for them. And, you know, so maybe that's a girl that they'll, you know, they'll try and pick up. Because, again, your true centers are hard to find. And you and I have certainly been very high on the emergence of Rochelle Norris over the last few months.
Yeah, I mean, she really showed me a lot there at the She Got Game. I mean, her game is really, in my opinion, has gone through the roof, so to speak, because – you know, her footwork's a lot better. You know, her scoring around the basket, she finishes through contact. She's starting to run rim to rim better. Her motor's a lot higher. I don't know. I just think just the way she's doing, I mean, you know, in when she graduates, wherever she goes, and she gets the right people, she'll probably end up being a pro center. I mean, I might not have thought that a couple of years ago, but, boy, she's really, like you said, she's really stepped it up. And if you know, people haven't seen her, I think by the end of the spring, after the spring recruiting period, if they're not on her, there'll be a lot more on her, and she'll be one of the hot commodities, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, like you said, I got a chance to watch her in a couple of events, you know, back in December, and the young lady just now has it, and it seems like she's doing it, you know, consistently now, a both ends impact, about 6'4", 6'5", the kid has reached her motor now is just terrific on both ends, rebound, a power center, I mean, literally, you know, point with power back to the basket moves, and you know, a rim protector, rebounding it consistently, running the floor. I just absolutely came away enamored with what I saw from her through December. And, you know, I've had a chance to have some correspondence with her, and it certainly seems like she's extremely hungry and humble as well, which is always a great combination. And she really just seems like the light has gone on for her. She realizes how good she can be, and she's just really stepping on the gas as far as her overall efforts. And again, as we certainly know as former college coaches, it's not only becoming rare to find true back to the basket, you know, true center types, but to get kids that, you know, the big kids that can play hard all the time like she seems to be doing now is a really big deal. And again, she's already got the college physical body and just extremely impressed with it. And had a chance to ask her a little bit about her recruiting because I know I was, on behalf of a West Coast school, it seemed like it was, you know, too far for her that she wants, you know, to be able to stay maybe, you know, within, you know, the region of her family being able to see her play. And, you know, we were just talking about Notre Dame and needing a true five, obviously with them being in the ACC, you would think that would give a lot of opportunities, you know, for her family to either see her play within a short drive or a decent enough drive. So maybe that's a kid that Notre Dame will look to. But certainly, as you just referenced, you know, I would think that, you know, just a plethora, a ton of East Coast high majors are going to be all over her by certainly, you know, the end of the spring evaluation period, if not sooner, because, again, at 6'5", what she's showing she can do on both ends of the floor, already a physical presence, she's got to become one of the big commodities in the 2018 class moving forward.
Yeah, and there's always kids like that kind of sneak up on you, or they develop late. And like we always talk about, post players always develop late anyway. That's just the way it always is and the way it's always going to be. And so
yeah,
you just have to see that. But she kind of went from being the kind of a, you know, what do you want to say, you know, a kind of a solid center. So to me now, if she keeps going, she could end up being, you know, one of the top posts in the class. And there's actually some pretty good posts in the 18 class. So we'll keep monitoring her, and I think she'll be. I was just thinking while you were talking about, you know, you got Kenny Brooks down there at Virginia Tech, and he's got to get him a whole new roster pretty much. And I think he's getting close. That'd be a great low post player to start off his new, you know, start off the next year with his class, 18 class. Somebody like that wouldn't be too far away, and that'd be a great pickup for him.
Well, and it's funny you talk about Kenny Brooks because, you know, I referenced at the very top of the broadcast, you know, we'll go about an hour max with tonight's show,
yeah,
and then I for one, am certainly going to look to get back to checking some of these games that are going on tonight. And he's, you know, he's in a big-time game with Miami on the road today, and they're going toe-to-toe with. You know, I got a chance to talk with Kenny recently, and I know that, you know, especially since getting to Virginia Tech, and he's got a kid, Reagan McGarity, he's finally healthy, you know, a big kid that's a double-double machine and versatile, and he said he's, you know, he's kind of fallen in love with versatile posts, and so I think he's looking to try and get, you know, he definitely needs post players in 2018. I think he's, you know, he's trying to find some kids that maybe fit that similar mold, you know, the versatility, because, you know, he runs, you know, the kind of that spaced out dribble drive, and they really utilize versatility. But again, Kenny Brooks, you bring him up. What he's right now, especially if he gets tonight's win, he's got to be right now. I know certainly nobody knows more than what Gino's doing this year than me. I get a chance to watch every game, but Kenny Brooks might have to be the leading candidate for Coach of the Year right now because, again, at 15-0, top 20 after Virginia Tech had basically been a lowly program for a while, and just a tremendous story, tremendous start to the year. And if he can – they're going toe-to-toe right now in Miami on the road. If they can pull this one off, man, very impressive.
Yeah. Hey, they got their streak going. UConn's got 90 and Virginia Tech's got 15. So which one's going to lose their streak first? So
it's
going
to
be tough for him.
Kenny.
Yeah, I do too. I agree. I just was being funny. But yeah, but you know, he's got a bunch of tough games coming up. You know, you still got to play Duke and Florida State and Louisville and Notre Dame and on down the line. So yeah, he'll take some losses, but you know, you never know. You know you get some at home or still a couple on the road, and hey, you never know. But they're definitely they're probably too. You know, everybody in a way UConn's a surprise team of the year, really, because nobody expected them to be undefeated now. But really, your surprise team's got to be Virginia Tech. Nobody thought he would be 15-0. You could ask 1,000 people, and not one of them would have said, "Oh yeah, he's going to have a good year, and he's going to be 15-0 by January 10th." They would said, "You're crazy."
And here's the other end of it, Brett, too, that you alluded to. You know, when you brought up his name, is that they now will quickly become a legitimate player moving forward on the recruiting landscape, not only because, you know, Virginia Tech's got a great campus. Obviously, it's an ACC program. It's a very, very good academic school. And Kenny Brooks, most people don't know him across the country, but, you know, just an extremely likable guy and the type of guy that, you know, should do really, really well you know, on the recruiting landscape, especially now that he's out of school, you know, at Virginia Tech, and they're off to such a great start. And, you know, we mentioned, you know, being in play for the recruits like Rochelle North, which, you know, will potentially be a premier post in 2018. But I already know that, you know, kids that we, you know, a kid like that we both love, and Cameron Schwartz out of Georgia, you know, she's got Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech, you know, among her top tier. And so, wow, you know, he's already making, and I know talking to the dad that, you know, that Kenny has made just a big time impression on them. And so, you know, he's already making an impression on top tier recruits. And so certainly, you know, Virginia Tech looks to become an emerging player among elite recruits moving forward.
Yeah, you're right, and that's the thing. And Schwartz fits the system. You know, all his guards, if you go back and look at his past with his system, he's always had high-scoring guards, and they've even played the point guard, and usually that doesn't work that way, that your point guard's your leading scorer. But he's had several guards that have fit that situation and scored a lot of points and been very successful, and they played the point guard. So, yeah, it'd be an interesting story to follow. And now I got a few big transfers that have gone down, too, that are probably worth talking about, too, I would say. I know you're aware of. The first one I thought was really – and it was another – it was kind of like Lele Thompson, that she was kind of out. Well, they got the girl – I think it's Eliana Christanaki, the girl
right
from Greece, the 6 foot forward that was at the Gators for Florida and transferred, and you know, she was her leading scorer and was just lighting it up. And I was told by several people that she was going back to Greece, so I kind of wrote her off. And then all of a sudden, bam, she made a few visits to Louisville and somewhere else, and then she picked Maryland. So I think it's a tremendous pickup for Maryland. They're already on a loaded squad, and here you bring in a proven player, you know, that you know, it's already proven herself this year. And I think that was a big time get for Coach Brenda Fries.
Yeah, that's a situation that's kind of I don't know. Yeah, that whole situation with her, obviously, I certainly don't know all the particulars, but it's been very unfortunate. It's obviously, you know, spiraled Florida and their season to this point. They've had a tough time recovering, and Christianaki was their leading scorer, and it's just kind of really left a major void for them. And, you know, again, I don't know all the particulars, but it certainly seemed like it was a violation of team rules with her and another kid. The other kid, you know, took the punishment and the medicine, and Christianaki didn't like the fact that, you know, she was being reprimanded, and then basically just quit the team, and then it's come out that she did so via text. She didn't even, you know, have the gumption to,
wow,
you know, to speak to Coach Amanda Butler in person. She basically just texted that she was quitting and leaving and then left, and, you know, and now that she's already decided to go elsewhere, it's just you know, for me, you know, you're a former coach, too. I just, again, I don't know the particulars in fairness to the kid, but it just seems like one of those deals that's just very unfortunate overall. She was in a great situation down there. She was the leading scorer, and, you know, and obviously part of a program that continues to emerge. And, you know, now she leaves because she didn't like this, you know, the punishment or what went down. And I think, you know, she's got to be careful, too, because the grass isn't always greener. She's going to a loaded program that continues to,
yep,
recruit studs every year. And, again, she was getting, you know, 30 to 35 minutes a night at Florida, the leading scorer. And, you know, she's now going to have to, while she's a very talented kid for sure, she's now going to have to fight, you know, for opportunity. It's not going to be maybe as easy. So sometimes the grass doesn't always wind up being greener, and you hope it works out for the kid and certainly for Florida moving forward too. But it's just, that's one of those situations, you know, as a former coach, that just leaves me a little, you know, leaves me a little wrangled, because I just, I don't know. It's tough to see, you know, how it went down.
Yeah, you're right in everything you said, and you just don't know. It could work out for her or it could not work out for her. It just depends,
yeah,
you know. And hopefully if whatever she did or is a problem, that she learns her lesson and, you know, she's not a repeat offender or whatever, you know, and you know, and buys in, and you hope so. But I think as Maryland, if you get a chance to get a player of that caliber, you can't really pass on her, you know, especially if you can get her because she's already proven, you know. So,
in fairness to the kid, you know, there would never seem to be any issues prior to, you know, to this one situation. But again, you know, they obviously have to know that they're also getting a kid that didn't seem to be willingness to. It's just a very interesting, like I said, unfortunate. It's unfortunate how it went down for both of them, that she wound up, you know, leaving a situation that seemed pretty good for her overall. And then it's certainly unfortunate for Florida. But as you say, that's certainly a big deal on the landscape of women's basketball, because now, you know, a power program gets, you know, a terrific talent and play, very versatile player. And again, I got a chance to watch her closely through the first couple months in the season, and she certainly is a really good wing player. So certainly that's a big deal in the landscape of women's basketball. And what else you got for her? I know that you probably kept an eye on that UCLA situation with the addition of the guard they got in Dupree. So go ahead and confirm that.
Yeah, I didn't know if we talked about her or not. Yeah, her dad, he was keeping me in the loop on it, who her schools were and everything. Yeah, and Dupree Dean, left Texas Tech. And she's going to UCLA now, so she'll be eligible semester next year, December 2017. So I think Jordan Canada, will be a senior next year. So they got a lot of wings in their class and everything. So she likes to score the basketball. So and she shoots it pretty well. Like, I watched UCLA play Washington, and the thing I noticed the most was they didn't guard Billings. They really didn't guard Jordan Canada. They backed off both of them 10 feet off. And they just said, okay, if you want to shoot it, go ahead. And, they had a rough time. Whereas Washington, man, every kid that touches the ball on their team, they can stroke it. So that was interesting. So she'll be a good one. And then another pretty big one was a girl named Brittany Ward. She's like a 6'2", 3'4", or 4'3". And she left Butler and went to Dayton. And she was probably a top 60, 70 player in the country coming out. I think it was in 2015. And her ties to Butler was that she played on the same AAU team as Damon Bailey. You know, the Damon Bailey, the eighth grader that Bobby Knight offered back when he was coming through years ago. That was that was never done back then. Now it's a everyday occurrence. But he was her AAU coach. And she went to Butler, and everybody kind of thought, well, you know, we can see why that happened. But then evidently things didn't work out. So it happened pretty fast. She actually committed to Dayton, which she's one of those versatile inside, outside, you know, can face up, stretch fours, and she'll really fit the Dayton system. And like Sam Breen, she could play the five for him, and you know, Brittany can play the Ward, can play the four for him or whatever. So that was an excellent pickup for the Dayton Flyers with Brittany Ward transferring in. Are you familiar with Brittany?
I usually agree with you about 98% of the time, but I definitely don't see Sam Breen playing any five in college. But certainly she's a very versatile forward prospect, and two certainly versatile prospects that they now adding one out of the 2017 class, and then, like you said, Ward now coming from Butler. I'm glad you had referenced that and brought that up and confirmed that, because I had seen Dayton and Shauna Green tweet that they added someone to the family a few days ago, and I've been trying to scour to see who it was and hadn't really picked up on it until you just confirmed. So nice job.
Yep. So when I just thought, well, if they did play together, though, Green is good enough inside to score inside, more so probably than Ward. So if they went high-low, then Sam would probably play inside. But you know what? Probably you're right, though. They both, Ward can strong. She could score inside, so they could flip-flop. Either one of them could be inside, and either one of them could be outside. So Green's a little bit, taller than her, so – it's a good thing to have. And then there was another transfer was a girl named Jade Woods. She's a 6 foot guard out of it. She actually went to the Windward School out there in California, is where she went to high school, but she was with Oregon. And
right.
I just, the other day, she just transferred in with Reagan Peebly at TCU. So very versatile guard. I remember watching her when she played AAU, and you know, kind of a lefty, high IQ. That she's probably more of a 2-3, but if she had to play the one some, she could. So she gives them a big guard that they tend to play that zone. That could play out in the front of the zone, or she can play in the back of the zone, and you know, shoots the ball pretty well. So I think that was a nice little pickup too for the Horned Frogs.
What? Yeah, the Horned Frogs. Like you said, a good little pickup for Reagan Pebbley as she continues to try and build that pro. You know, Woods, you know, part of that 2016 class for our guy Kelly Graves, and that was a big class, not only in terms of ranking, but also in volume of numbers. And I had wondered, I was definitely skeptical of all those kids sticking it out there, and you know, since it was such a high volume class, and obviously, you know, minutes and opportunities sometimes, and they already, you know, had a young emerging, you know, program there with under Kelly Graves, but she certainly didn't last too long. It was only about a couple of months, and she left. But again, as you say, a nice pickup, and hopefully it works out for Coach Pebbley and for Jade Wood.
Yeah, and you know, it's you know, she was a good, really, you know, really good solid guard, but there's not many better already, and she's showing it already in Sabrina Ionescu, you know, winning the game and having triple doubles,
amen.
She's just one of those special players, you know, and everybody kind of knew that she would do that, you know. Maybe they didn't think she'd get a triple double as a freshman after her eighth game, or how many ever games it was that she got it, but they knew that she had the capability of doing that. And that's the thing, Ionescu, if you wanted to, you on offense, you could put her at the four position with her size and the way she shoots the ball. You know, she could be a stretch four offensively for you. And really, she's more of a point guard is what she is. So, but she could probably play one through four. So that was that was probably, like you said, there's always going to be an odd man out when you have a six to seven player type class. There's always going to be an odd man out somewhere there, and all these different, you know, different programs. Because you just can't keep everybody happy, because you're bringing in six or seven at one time, and you already got several kids that have already either been there as a freshman or a sophomore or whatever that have maybe already getting some playing time. So it's going to be hard to keep everybody happy. So that's good. It's a good place for her to land, and, you know, it's a good, great pickup for the for TCU. So
hey,
I was
Brett,
trying to think –
Yeah,
go ahead.
Hey, Brett, just before you go on, you know, on that note a little bit, I still think, you know, on the women's side, they need to catch up a little, because on the boys' side, I'm telling you, the parents, the kid, you know, the AAU coach, they keep such a close eye and scrutiny on the rosters of programs, you know, so that they know that there's a comfortable little fitting. And I think the women's side, to some degree, while it's getting a little better maybe in terms of the awareness and, you know, I still think the women's side is still lagging as far as some of these recruits and realizing, you know, again, you know, the rest of the roster, the rest of the recruiting class, so that situations potentially like this don't happen. But in fairness to Woods, too, Ionescu certainly did make her decision very, very late. And matter of fact, she made it the day before summer classes started at Oregon.
Yeah.
I remember Kelly Graves coming. Kelly Graves came on this podcast, and actually talked about that very thing, how late and how surprising, you know, how she kind of just showed up on campus and said, "I'm coming," kind of deal. But, you know, again, the women's side, I think some of these – yeah, exactly. I think some of these girls, the parents, you know, and their camp, whoever's helping them, need to be a little bit more aware of just roster dynamics and how, you know, and the fit, because, you know, there does seem to be still some examples like this where kids are not realizing, you know, how filled the cupboard is at some of these schools.
I think you brought up a great point. And I tell parents that all the time, or kids, that one of the first things you should do is look at a team's roster. And I go, if you're a point guard and they got a freshman point guard, a sophomore point guard, a junior point guard, you need to look at that. It's always nice to think that you can beat them out. But in most cases, not unless it's a really bad program or where they're not winning and, you know, and stuff like that, you're not going to come in and take those all three of those players' playing time. It's just not going to happen. Now, if you're 0-28 and you're terrible and all that, yeah, you might. But if you're a pretty good program, you're probably going to have to wait your turn. And that's another thing that I always tell parents, too, to younger kids, don't be stuck on one position. Be a multiple position player. Play with the ball, play without the ball. And then that way, if you go into a situation where there's two point guards and you're a point guard, then you can get time at the other positions as well as time at the point guard. So.
Amen.
Yep. All right, well, a few more here, just more of Butler. We were talking about Butler. They picked up a kid down here near me in Louisville, Kentucky. Her name is Amelia Sexton, and she's kind of a 5'6" guard, but she's real tough, really tough kid, but she's a shooter-maker. You know, she's got the good basketball IQ, and that's what Butler likes. But her thing is she can put the ball in the hole. You know, and that's what Butler really likes. So I think that was a good pickup for him. She's smaller, probably more of an off guard than she is a two guard, but that's okay. She can really shoot it, and that's what happens in the Big East with the DePauls and the Creightons and all them. They got people that can shoot, put the ball in the basket, and that's what she'll help. That's what she'll help Butler do.
Yeah, I got a chance to watch a little video on her and also talk to her right after her commitment. And, yeah, I mean, you're right. She certainly has a terrific little fire plug built. I mean, strong, stocky guard. And so she also has some strength to go with it. But that stroke certainly should be a legitimate dimension moving to the next level.
Yep, no doubt about it. And then there was a kid up in she actually plays for the Mass Rivals, which I watch them play a lot at AAU, and she was from Kimball Union Academy in New Hampshire, a girl named I think it's Taylor Soule, Soule, and she's a 5'11" wing, and she committed to Eric Johnson in Boston College, and she's also in the 18 class. And she's one of those. She's a tough player. Really, really tough. Really aggressive. Really can attack the basket type kid. And you know, good motor. And you know, shoots it pretty good. But she's more of a tough competitor like kid. And that's probably a good thing for Boston College to have. They tend to have a lot of fundamental, you know, IQ type kids. And this kid gives them a little different look. With her toughness and her aggressiveness and being able to guard people and rebound and do other things too. Are you familiar with Taylor?
I'm actually not, and I got to tell you the other thing that I'm not familiar with is I'm not familiar with that school either. And I usually, through all my years and up here in the Northeast, I usually have come across a ton of these high schools. And I got to tell you, I'm not familiar with the school either. Which job
you know what?
On both of them.
Yeah, and that's what I had in my system for. And maybe she's not there, but that's what they put in the summer. That's what they put in the summer, the summer booklet where she played or whatever. So she could be somewhere else now or, and schools are, you know, so different. So, you know, you could be right because there's sometimes I don't hear certain schools and I think, wow, you know. So that's something that I'll Google and look. You know, and see. I just Googled her real fast, and it does say Kimball Union Academy. So that's a new one for me. I think she's still there. So,
me too.
Yeah.
Hey, Brett, well, it's as a quick little segue, because we were just talking about Butler, and then you're also talking about the New England area and kind of preps, you know, school, Catholic school type schools up there. But, you know, our girl that we both, you know, promoted – not only on the podcast, but also online, Alicia Obi, you know, the 6-foot 2017 kid that's still uncommitted and unsigned, and she's getting some interest from Butler right now. They're coming to actually watch her play. I believe tomorrow they were actually scheduled to watch her about a week ago, and then the game got snowed out, and so they're showing some interest. And, you know, according to her mom last night, she had another, you know, big game for for Thornton Academy up there. Again, she's at a new school this year, Thornton Academy up there, which, again, I wasn't too familiar with. But anyway, she had 25 points. She had 25 points, four threes, four steals, six rebounds. And here's the thing about Obi, you know, just to follow up, you know, move a little forward on her, is that, you know, she had, you know, and she had played for the New England Crusaders, you know, in the summer, and got some really, you know, elite top run with them. But she had been recruited in the past, and unfortunately, it sounds like had an unfortunate situation where maybe a former AAU coach, you know, really kind of did some slandering with her. But she had been recruited a lot, obviously, as a perimeter player and a shooter. But I got to tell you, Brett, the thing that I'm trying to promote her moving forward, I think she, you know, and you've mentioned this, you know, even earlier in the broadcast with a couple other kids, being able to play, you know, multiple positions and maybe a stretch four. I think Obi's got a chance to be, you know, that type of kid. She's already strong, 6 foot. The kid can really shoot it. And I tell you, I think as a 3-4 and a kid who can give you a minute as a stretch four with her decision-making, her passing, and again, that frame that's already pretty good for a kid her age, I think she's an interesting dynamic if college programs consider her in that role, more so even than, you know, maybe the point guard, two guard role that I think she had been considered in the past. And again, an elite student too. But I think that's a really sleeper, you know, uncommitted kid out there. Again, an elite student. I mean, an Ivy League caliber student. But I think if you project her in the role that we're talking now, in that three, even stretch four role, especially, you know, mid-major or low, you know, high major, like, you know, some of these Big East schools or a Butler that obviously uses players like her in a certain way, I think she really, you know, her stock goes up in that role.
Nope, I agree with you. And there's really not a lot of great players left out there to pick from. So I think she's a great find for a lot of schools. So I don't know. I don't really understand Coach Bill anymore. It's like you talk to schools about kids. And what I found is, though, during this time of the year, they're recruiting, but they're not really recruiting because they're more concerned winning games. And they're more to the day-to-day things instead of the future.
Yep.
So eventually they're going to have to pay attention, because I agree with you. I mean, because like you said, the Big East, I mean, look at the teams like the Butlers or the Villanova.
Creighton,
Look at her at Creighton. Look, what if she played at Creighton for Jim? Oh, my gosh. She'd be a star if she went out there and played for him the way he coaches. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, too, Brett. I know you and I have talked about this before, especially in today's basketball that's getting a little bit more European style and perimeter. When you can get kids that can, obviously, you and I have gone on and on about the volume of shooters that you need to have in your program. But when you can combine a kid that has some length, size, can shoot it, and then also is a decision maker, a kid that has an acumen and a backcourt acumen to make decisions, you know, to make legitimate passes, and again, the decision-making thing. I think, to me, that's the big deal in recruiting, is that combination of shooting, decision-making, and if they can add any kind of length to go along with it. To me, those are the recruits and the kids that are really, you know, standing out and making a difference for the programs. Again, like you just alluded to, you know, the Butlers, the Creightons, these programs – that are overachieving and emerging are filled with shooters, decision makers. You know, they get some length at some of these positions. And to me, a kid like Obi is, again, while she's somewhat limited, you know, athletically, gives you 6 foot size, gives you shooting. And this kid, I'm telling you, has a backcourt acumen. She makes decisions. She can pass the basketball at above average level. And again, already has a solid frame and has some strength. And you and I have talked about, college basketball continues to move in that direction. Can you shoot it? Can you put it on the deck some? Can you make decisions? And do you have any kind of length that where you can play maybe a couple positions? And this is that type of kid.
I couldn't agree with you more. And even help that, what you said, to add more to it is, there's no any kids like that out there left in the 17 class that have that. They have one or two things, but they don't have like you said, they don't check all the boxes. They check a couple of boxes. Well, if you get a kid that checks maybe one or two boxes, they're not going to be that much of an impact. But if you, like you said, you got a kid with size and can shoot the ball and IQ and knows how to play, they check a lot of boxes. They can really help your program. And I agree with you. I'd forgotten about her, you know, that she's one of those kids that a lot of people should be on.
And then
really
here's the other thing. An elite level student, and I'll put my reputation. This kid is a really good kid. I don't know, you know, what went on. You know, why she got slandered by a previous coach that maybe, you know, some schools backed off or whatever. But that, you know, I've known this kid for over a year, and I haven't seen anything that would ever. And I know that. You know, Kara Leary, who runs the New England Crusaders, certainly her reputation and her back, you know, her experience in this game, she stands by the kid, and a really good kid too. So I mean, you're talking a high character, elite student kid, and I mean, you just said it, checks all the boxes. And you know, lastly, Brett, on the note of on committed kids, because you brought this kid to my attention, the Isabella Lopez kid, you know, the guard out of Florida that's still unsigned too. I mean, again, I've only seen video of her, but to me, that kid can ball. I mean, and I mean,
I agree.
I mean, I don't know what's going on. I've been trying to promote her a little bit. I know you have as well, and I'll keep trying to promote her. And I know a couple of schools, she keeps me updated here and there, you know, I've gotten in on her. But again, coaches, if you're listening, and I was even going to try and recommend her to Shauna Green and Dayton, because we know that they lost a couple of guards over the last, you know, few months. One was committed, you know, one was, two were committed. And, you know, I think she can definitely play at that level, if not, you know, I mean, that kid, again, you tell me, Brett, because you watched her too, and I don't know if you saw her in person at any point, but that kid can play.
I've seen her in person a lot.
He can go.
No, I'll tell you what, I promise you, as sure as I'm sitting here, that you'll have to lock the door and keep her out of the gym. She loves the gym. She lives in it. She loves to work out. She's got a little bit of flair to her, you know, and she's really a great passer, but she looks more to score. But she can score off the bounce. She can get to the rim. She shoots the three. And I don't know. She told me, I talked to her about a week ago. I think it was Tennessee Martin had found out about her, and they wanted her to come in for a visit, and she asked me what I thought, and I said they had a good program, and I said, I'd go if they want to bring you in for a visit, go visit. I mean, see if they like it, you know. And I said other stuff will come along, but I go, you know, I don't know why other people. I was talking to a school about her today, so I don't know why people aren't on her. Maybe they think they want a point guard, and they think she's kind of more of a scoring point guard, and they want more of a, you know, set the team up point guard. I don't know, but to me, I look at it. I always talk to coaches about NBA draft. Okay, it's my time to draft, but I can't get the player I want, so I take the best available player. Well, she's one of those best available players. If you feel like you need to take somebody, that she'd be one to take. So I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a coach anymore, and you aren't either. And I scratch my head all the time, and I know you do too. But I always say I'll take some of these players like her and Aisha that we just talked about and all them. I'll take them and field a team, and I'll go play you guys, all you other guys. Because I think they can be really, you know, really, you know, good players. I'm not saying they can play for UConn and play for all that, but mid-major or marginal high major, they can be impact players, and they would do very well. I feel quite strongly they would.
I've had you know, debate at certain times with people about, you know, highlight videos or whatever. And I know for me in my history as a college recruiter and coach that, you know, I've got an all conference player off of highlight videos one time or whatever. But this kid's highlight video really stood out to me. I was like, this kid can play.
Yeah.
She can make shots. She can make plays. She, like you said, she's got some juice with the ball and fit. I mean, this kid can play. And so hopefully, as we both know, and you said it so well earlier, that, you know, this time of the year tends to be a flatlining period, you know, for a coach, because they are so immersed in their season and everything. And usually by February, coaches start to perk up again because they start to realize some of the shortcomings in their program. And maybe by
You're
then
right.
somebody has left the program or somebody's gotten hurt or what have you, whatever. So they start to look forward a little bit more and start to try and see who else is out there and all that. And I'm sure you have done the same thing with kids like Isabella. We keep preaching patience with them and, you know, things will develop and all that kind of thing. But Isabella Lopez and Alicia Ove, I mean, these are a couple of kids that can play and that can definitely,
yep.
you know, impact programs and be some, you know, some quality late signs. But that kid Lopez can ball from everything I saw. I mean, that's a highlight video to
yeah.
me that stood out. And I was like, you know what, this kid can play. He just needs to be seen.
Right, yeah, I don't know what it is. And then I saw a kid, since we're on this, on this 2017, I saw a kid in Chicago, too, and her name is Kira Piwak, P-I-W-A-K, and she's a three-sport star at Rolling Meadows, where Jackie Kemp from St. Louis came from, you know, for Lisa Stone.
Yeah.
And she's a 5'10 point guard, and, man, she tells everybody where to go on the floor. When something doesn't go right, she's up telling the girl, hey, good job, you know, don't worry about it, you know, everything's going to be okay. She scored 1,000 points in 3 years. And she just makes all the right decisions. She plays hard. And somebody said, well, can she handle pressure? Well, I was sitting there watching with a college coach, and they don't even need anybody in the 17 class. And after we watched her for a while, he goes, wow, I'm going to call my coach. He got on the phone, called his head coach, and they said they're going to start recruiting her. And I jinxed her. I said, yeah, she hasn't turned it over yet. And they were pressing her whole game. And she finally walked one time and turn it over. But I think she would be another great pickup too, at least mid-major, at least, maybe better. But she's a big guard with a high IQ that checks a lot of boxes. So
what's her name again, Brett?
It's spelled K-Y-R-A, but it's pronounced Kira, okay?
Right.
But it's like Tyra, but it's Kira. And her last name's Spiwak, S-P-I-W-A-K, Spiwak.
One more time on that. One more time on that last name.
Spiwak. Spiwak is the way it's pronounced. Kira Spiwak. 5'9", 5'10" point guard, and she's out of Rolling Meadows, which is the suburb of Chicago, which I told you I know
right.
you could relate to because you love Jackie Kemp. That's Jackie Kemp's
yep.
old school at St. Louis, and this kid is. I'd be all over in a heartbeat if it's me. If I'm a mid-major, I'm mowing her. And she's kind of academic and wants good academics. So if I'm one of those schools in the Northeast, I'm all over, you know, trying to get her to come to my school.
Well, I'll try and, you know, obviously see if I can help promote her a little bit, you know, via Twitter
yeah.
and stuff moving forward. So nice job with that. You know, you mentioned Jackie Kemp. They had a win today. I got a chance to watch her play again today, and she had another stellar performance today, so certainly that's certainly a name that always brings a smile, because what a stud guard she is for Coach Stone there at St. Louis. But like you said, same high
oh, yeah.
school, and so all right, so that's a girl I'm going to look to do some more research
yeah.
on and see if we can help a little bit. But Kira Spiwak at a 5'10" out of Rolling Meadows.
Yeah, that's right, Rolling Meadows. Yeah, she wasn't on the list, but I just thought about it because she was one that that I kind of put her on Twitter myself, and I actually talked to a couple of coaches about her, and they were trying to get a hold of her, you know, high school coach. Because actually, I put her on Twitter at the game, and I was standing there, and all of a sudden, the head coach came up and started talking to me. He said, oh, hey, Brett, I want to thank you for putting that on Twitter or whatever. And then he told me his name and everything. And I got his number from him, his cell phone number, because they didn't have that information. So some coaches, if they wanted to call on her to go see her play, that she'd be a good one to, you know, possibly to go see. But then there was another commitment was in the 18 class was Brown. The Brown Bears pulled another one out of Arizona, a girl named Ellie Baker, 6'4" post out of Saguaro High School in Arizona, in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I'm not sure who she played for the AAU, But I was a big fan of hers. Like we were talking about, we need a true low post player. It's her. She's strong. She can finish on the block, and she's really good about using her body and being physical and gaining position. And she runs the floor well, and she'll definitely give Brown a true low post presence that they can throw the ball into, and she'll be able to be a threat that people. She'll be on the scouting report that she's a back to the basket player, and we have to stop her. So that was a great pickup for Coach Sarah Benn at for the Brown Bears in the 2018.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can get that, you know, that kind of player, you know, post player, true back to the, and then never mind an early get, you know, 2018 kid. So again, like you said, nice job for Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought she really had a lot of potential that she could almost be a bottom level. You know, that could still be a top 300 or 250, 300, but I thought she could be that type of a post player, you know, like a bottom level Power 5 or BCS type kid. And but probably she will excel more. And that's the thing I tell people all the time, recruit the West Coast. All those kids love academics. They'll come back Ivy or back to the East. If you're a good academic school, they don't care. They want to come there. And if they can play at UConn, but they can still play at an Ivy school, they might come play for you at the Ivy school because they want that education when they come from the West Coast. So, like you said, that was another good pickup for them. And then I think we talked about Caitlin. Did we talk about Caitlin Downey before? You know, the girl from New York that went to Fordham.
I'm pretty sure we did, but it doesn't hurt to bring it up quickly again. By the way, they had another good win today, or after a 5-0 start, and they're tied with St. Louis right now, leading the A-10. And so Coach Gately and company doing it again. But yeah, Caitlin Downey out of the Empire State, AAU program. You know, I've said about her, and again, this is just one man's opinion, but I think she's kind of a mid-major version of our girl, Erin Boley, up at Notre Dame. To me, it's just a very similar player in terms of not only body, but certainly skill set. A very, you know, again, a mid-major version of Erin Boley, but, a very good shooter, a versatile kid, you know, a gritty, salt-of-the-earth kid on and off the court. And so, I've known the kid for a while, you know, been following Downey and promoting her for a while, and just was, you know, and I know the staff. I actually coached Coach Angelica Zamillo, the associate head coach there, when she was in college, and certainly a wonderful staff there, great people. But I was just thrilled to see that match, you know, Caitlin Downey to Fordham, and certainly she'll be a terrific player for them, I would think.
Oh yeah, I think it's a perfect fit. She fits their system. And like you said, I think she could even play a stretch four for him a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
She shoots it well. IQ, all that, you know. So, yeah, I think that's a great pickup for Gately. And, you know, she's always been a great coach. Everywhere she's coached, she's won. And she does a fabulous job. So, well, I'll give you a couple of names here. I know we're about out of time. I'll give you a couple of names real fast that I saw kids out on the road.
Yeah.
And then we'll wrap it up. And one kid particularly I saw that – In Missouri, a girl named Haley Frank. You might want to look her up. She's a 6'1", 2019 kid, and she's from Strafford. It's Strafford, Missouri. That's the name of the small town, and that's the name of the high school. And this kid is definitely a Power 5 player. She's about 6'1", or 6'2". Already got a great college body. She knows how to post people up and score. She shoots the three. The tournament that I was at the year before, in that tournament, she had like 42 or something like that in a game.
Wow.
And she just has the ability to – she's a true scorer. Her dad's her coach. And she's really smart, and she doesn't try to do too much. You know what I mean? She still gets her other teammates involved, but she scores at all three levels. And she'll be a handful. I know I was out there and I was talking to Kelly Harper, you know, Kelly Jolly Harper, the old Tennessee guard that's the head coach of Missouri State. And she's already offered her last year or whatever. And I'm not sure a lot of people know about her, because I would think like the Iowa States and a bunch of people out there in the Midwest, they would be already putting their offers in for her, because she really doesn't have any weaknesses. She's already got a college body already, and she really shoots it great. and IQ, and she checks all the boxes, like we say. So she'll be a dandy for somebody here out of the 2019 class.
Can you run that name by me? What was her name again?
Yeah. It's spelled H-A-Y-L-E-Y, Haley
right.
Frank, F-R-A-N-K, about 6'1", 6'2". I put her – she's probably a wing, but she could be a 2, a 3, a 4 offensively. But she plays at Stafford. It's S-T-R-A-F-F-O-R-D, Stafford. That's the name of the school. Small town. You got all those small towns. And they're right there, what do you want to call them, a suburb of Springfield. That's where it was held. There's a ton of small little towns right there in by there, and that was one of them. It was just a few miles from there, but she was very impressive, Haley Frank was. And then another kid for Danville Schlarman out of Illinois is a girl named Capri Brown. I'd seen her before, Capria Brown, excuse me, C-A-P-R-I-A, Capria Brown, and she's a 5'9 guard. And she's a 2020 kid, but this kid is like, she's fearless. It's like, she's definitely going to be a big time type kid because, you know, she just knows how to score. She's great. She weaves in and out of traffic and she finishes, you know, on the move, and she can knock down the three ball, and she just really looks to score. She's a real true scorer. And, so she was very impressive. So that was another one that was a kind of a major D1 kid. And then a kid that was kind of intriguing was a girl named Lily, and her last name is W-E-H-M-A-N, Wayman, and she's a 6'2", kind of a 4'3", and she played at Loyola High School there. Loyola Academy High School, a suburb of Chicago. And I think she had hurt her knee. She was coming back off a knee, but she didn't wear a brace. She showed no ill effects of the knee, but man, she was great. Another great communicator. Man, she was always talking to everybody, telling them where to go, what to do, always being encouraging. And you know how it is now, if they don't have a Twitter account or whatever, email account or text you, they can't talk to you. And she does all that. And another thing that impressed me about her, she knocked down threes, she posted people up. But what one of the most impressive things I liked is the way she screened. She was a true what I call a headhunter, where she didn't just go over and screen. She spread out and she set a screen on you, and she got to your hips. Because, you know, if you don't screen the defender's hips, the screener's going to get by you. And she just did every little thing like that. And I'm not saying she's a major D1 type kid, but the mid-major or a little better type kid. But, yeah, I can see Jim liking her at Creighton or whatever, places like that. And maybe even Doug. I don't know if Doug – I was sitting there with Doug's assistant, so I don't know if they like her or not. But she was very impressive with all the little details and the little things that she did. So,
hey,
Fred, but her name's Lily Wayman. Yeah.
Right. And how did you spell her first name again?
L-I-L-L-Y. Lily.
Right. Okay. And what's
last name is W-E-H-M-A-N, Wayman.
Oh, it's okay. Thank God you spelled that, because, all right, I had that wrong.
Well, I know. But you know how it is. People spell their names different. Yeah, and that's the way it spells
yeah.
differently. But, yeah, she's at Loyola Academy up there in Chicago. And I think she played for a AAU program. I think it was the All-In Athletics is what they're called. And I believe that's who she played for. But that was I was talking to one of the guys that was with that AAU program, and he said that she'd been out and didn't play this summer with her knee, and she was really playing well. I mean, she was really impressive, because I was actually sitting there with the Wake Forest assistant, and he was going like, wow, this girl's pretty good. And not that he was going to take her, you know, but he just said, you know, we were just impressed with all the little things, like I said, with the IQ, the being vocal, and just the way she set screens and the way she carried herself, and she did other things too, though, you know, the way she shot the ball and just everything she did was, you know, she could be a pretty good little player one of these days. So are we about out of time, or Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I figured an hour, but if you needed, you know, a few more minutes to cover any ground, but yeah, for the most part, you know, again, we're not far out of time.
I'm good. We could go on forever and ever, but that was good to get started back again or do whatever. And like I said, the funny thing is the coaches, they, you know, you hit the nail on the head that, you know, they're looking to win games, but then now certain players aren't performing the way they expected, or they're not getting what they want. And so they know, you know what, we need a new point guard. We need another point guard. We need another wing. We need another whatever. And it doesn't start coming to fruition until about March. Like you said, February or March. If they're not having a good year, then they start getting serious, because you'll tell these coaches about some of the players and they say, oh, yeah, okay, and they take their name down. But then they really don't research it and really don't do anything about it till, like you said, till February or March. And then they say, oh, yeah, maybe I better check on that kid, you know. So this is something I've learned, and I know you've learned doing this part, this side of the business. You try to tell them and you get excited, and sometimes they're just not really that interested. So I've learned, don't take it personal. I just tell them if they're not interested, I'll talk to somebody else, and maybe somebody will listen.
Yeah, and as we know, and we preach to the kids all the time, patience. I mean, a lot of things change from February through February, March, and even into April. So it's a lot of patience for some of these unsigned kids. It's tough, certainly at their age, to be patient. But things will definitely change with a lot of rosters and with recruiting perspectives moving forward. But hey, Brett, I got to give you a couple updates. We knew it would happen, but it happened tonight. Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech fall, and they lose to Miami on the road, and they go down 82-75. So that's their first loss of the year.
Good.
And it was a toe-to-toe. It looked like it was a toe-to-toe game the whole way. But again, Miami, I tell you, people got to start, recognizing what they're doing too, because the Wolfpack at NC State were on a heck of a run. They had beaten Notre Dame, they beat Florida State, and then Miami went on the road and beat them. And then obviously Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech had been undefeated, and Miami takes them out too. So Miami now 14-3, 3-2 in the ACC, but Virginia Tech, first loss of the year. We knew it was going to happen, but it happened tonight at Miami. And then you have another bomb burner going on down there as in Lubbock, Texas, because number 18 West Virginia is trailing by 3 to Candace Whitaker and Texas Tech with about 3 and change left. So that's a heck of a game going on. You had Maryland. Penn State gave them all they wanted for a lot of nights.
Yeah.
They held on and won. Maryland held on and won 89-83 at home against Penn State. So they, go to 16-1. But some terrific games across the country already today. I watched the George Washington game earlier today. They held on and beat George Mason on the road. But just some really good games going on. And again, Virginia Tech gets their first loss. But this West Virginia-Texas Tech game is going down right to the wire. So you might want to hop off ladies' night and try and catch the end of that.
I don't have to. I've been watching it the whole time we've been on watching. I had it on. I was watching
it
earlier.
Where have you been watching it? Because I don't see it on ESPN3, and I don't see a stream.
No. See, what it is I have all those. I have DirecTV, and I have all those different channels. And this is it's one of those Fox Sports channels, and it's like 640. It's 649, I think it is, or something. And I've been watching it. And actually, West Virginia just tied it, and then Texas Tech just went up at 62-60 with 2:23 to go, is what it is.
Wow, that would certainly be a huge win. And Texas Tech's been very good at home, but that would be a huge win for Candace Whitaker. They come off the tough loss at Kansas State, but if they could take down number 18 West Virginia, that would certainly be a big feather in their cap as they move through that gauntlet of a Big 12. But anyway, those were a couple updates, and we'll jump off here in a minute, but I just to wrap up our whole ladies' night in the high school kid, just a couple of kids. Annie Stritzel is a 2019 5'11" guard out of the Chicago area, and she transferred with her dad, to Nazareth Academy. Her dad got that job there, and he's been a terrific high school coach up there. But she had to sit out for the longest time due to transfer rules, played her first game the other night and at 35. And, you know, she's certainly becoming, you know, a 2019 kid that high majors are starting. I know DePaul and those types of, you know, kind of in on her, and Villanova are schools that are really after her already. And, you know, that's a name that will emerge in the 2019 class. So her first game after the transfer rules, 35 for Annie Stritzel. And then another wing about the same height, but 2018 kid that I tell you has really impressed me, and I'm keeping an eye on starting to promote, is Lauren Wasselson out of Pennsylvania, kind of, you know, the western part of Pennsylvania. She's a 5'11", really can shoot it, but the kid has some juice, yeah. Right? And I think that's a kid that might emerge, especially on the mid-major scale. But Lauren Wasselson, 5'11", out of Pennsylvania, I think is an intriguing wing prospect because, again, 5'11", can really, really shoot, but also has some juice with the ball and an active kid. So just a couple of wing prospects.
How does she spell her name? How does Lauren spell her name?
Sure. It's Wasylson. So Wasselson. Wasylson. Lauren Wasselson, you know, out of the Pennsylvania area.
I have her in my system. I thought I did. Well, but, you know, getting back to, you know, you said about Stritzel, you know, when I went to Chicago on Saturday, I watched Nazareth play, and they said that she was going to be coming back soon, so I missed her by one game. So her team played, and they have another kid on there, too, that's really good, and I can't think of her name off the top of my head. 6'3", is kind of a wing besides Stritzel that's really good, too. And they were both sitting out because they all went to play for her dad. And so they're going to be automatically be really good. You know, getting those two in the mix now. So, yeah, so look out for Nazareth Academy. I agree with you. So,
and if you give me 1 second, too, I'm going to try and verify. There's a kid out of that same area, because she actually kind of followed me right after I was promoting Stritzel. But a 2020 kid, 5'11 wing, Kylie Feuerbach. Have you heard of this kid?
What's her last name?
Feuerbach. It's F-E-U-E-R, Bach, B-A-C-C-H, Kylie Feuerbach. And I'm telling you, I watched some video on this kid, 2020, again, just a puppy, a freshman, but 5'11", yeah. Strong kid, can shoot it, has some advanced, you know, feel for the game for a freshman, and is physically mature for a freshman. I think that's a kid that, you know, you want to maybe, you know, write that name down and keep an eye out for, because only 2020, watch some video on it, seemed very, very intriguing for a freshman, 5'11", wing type that can shoot it, looks like an advanced feel, as you know, physically advanced, and kind of maybe one of those freshmen that's a little advanced for her age already. But I thought that was a kid I was curious if you would come across, because was impressed
by
some of the
I looked her up. Yeah, she's in my system. I saw her. She plays at Sycamore High School. Is that right? That's what I had her, Sycamore High School. 20 kid. Yeah, see, she played on this team called the Illinois Truth, and they have a bunch of good young kids. There's another 20 guard that I saw. I've seen her play a couple of times. I'm trying to think what her name is. She's a lefty in the 20 class. And, gosh, I'm trying to think what her name is. She doesn't start on her high school team, and I was really surprised that she didn't play more than what she did. But on the AAU circuit, she was really good. She can post up, good IQ, shoots it well, lefty, 5'11". She also is in the 20 class. I'm trying to think what her name is. Her name is, what is it? Oh, Lindsay Rogers is her name. And she played on that same Illinois Truth team with your girl that you were just talking about.
But
Lindsay Rogers. Yes, Feuerbach. But this Lindsay Rogers plays at Bennett Academy, you know, where what's the girl's name that remember she went to? Kathleen Doyle. Remember she committed to Nebraska, and then Connie Yorey left, so then she switched to Iowa, playing a lot for Iowa this year. That's where she played, Bennett Academy. And this Lindsay Rogers, she can be a big timer. She's a lefty, and kind of a deceiving athlete. Probably play all three guards. So they play on the same team together. Your Fearbach kid and Lindsey Rogers. So that I saw that young team in Chicago this year, and they had three or four kids that could be really some special players in the 2020 class.
I got to tell you, Brett, it does not get any better than I throw out a kid's name like Fearbach. You not only have her in the system, but you give a whole breakdown on the AU team and obviously add in, you know, a little some thoughts on the Lindsey. But I mean, that is what makes Brett McCormick an absolute women's basketball blessing. It was right there. That little five-minute span right there, it just says it all right there. And God bless you.
Well,
but, hey, Brett, I know you're probably watching it, but it looks like Texas Tech might pull it off up five here in the waning seconds.
Yeah,
so,
they will. You know what? They kind of got their number because they went into Morgantown and beat them last year. And they play them twice. They might have beaten West Virginia twice last year. I know they beat them in Morgantown last year. And I noticed they showed Texas Tech's up-and-coming schedule. In about four or five more games, they play West Virginia again at West Virginia. So, they just made a free throw. It's 71-64 now. And what is that? 21 seconds, 20 seconds left. And they just scored a layup, 71-66. But yeah, I don't think they'll have much of a chance here, because the problem is. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, I tweeted about it actually a few days ago. I just, you know, I've gotten to know Coach Whitaker a little bit over the last couple months, and I just find her so easy to root for. And certainly, as we've talked about, I mean, they're in that arms race, you know, in that gauntlet there in Texas with Baylor and Texas and certainly Texas A&M. But, you know, I certainly root for her in the program. But, you know, sometimes they wrangle me because their shot selection could be better and a little bit more disciplined, at least for my taste. But I'm rooting for her. I think she's a wonderful woman that has the program kind of back on the upswing, and certainly wins like this will certainly help them, because they've kind of gone back and forth in some of these big matchups where they've won one, lost one. So a potential big win here for Texas Tech. But again,
yep,
I know you know Candy. She's very easy to root for.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? They just did a run out. They put the four across, and they did a run out and got an easy layup against West Virginia. So now it's 73-65. Now they're fouling. But the thing about Candy is that I was going to tell you, I knew she was a good coach, but I've talked to some really reliable people, and they said she's a wizard. She can draw up anything. The girl really knows basketball inside and out, and she can draw up about anything and really is a great X's and O's type coach. So I think they're just going with it. They just got a lot of kids that can shoot the three, like Lauren Brooks, the transfer, and Rasay Caldwell, and that's kind of what they do, and that's kind of their strength, and that's what Washington does, you know. And that's kind of – I know what you're saying, because you can't always count on that three-point shot because you're not going to hit them every night. I mean, if you're on,
you can beat
anybody. If you're off, you can lose. Anybody.
Well, you know what it is too. You know, and we saw it again. We saw it last night again, and just an absolute clinic, and one for the vault with UConn's, you know, just dominating win over South Florida, and just there's nothing that replaces especially when you get into big matchups. There's nothing that replaces the ability to pass the basketball and discipline and shot selection. And because, as you and I know, we've coached, every coach talks about the turnover column at halftime, after games or whatever, but bad shots are shooting turnovers, and they pretty much, and they almost always seem to lead to something going the other way and stuff. And you're familiar that I watch a ton of games each week, either online, on TV, some form of that. And there's just too many programs across women's basketball that don't value the basketball enough, whether it be passing-wise or shooting-wise, and they just, you know, jack up some quick threes or what have you, or don't run anything distinguishable. But, you know, so, again, I want Texas Tech to do well. So sometimes, I, it wrangles me when they get a little bit slippery with their shot selection. But again, she's such an easy head coach to root for, and seems like a wonderful woman. And as you said, seems to really get it too, which I'm a big fan of, and I'm hopeful for them. That's a big, big win for them. But anyway, that'll kind of, wrap up that. But just, lastly, as I referenced, I mean, Brett, you and I certainly extol the virtues over and over, and how could you not? But what UConn did last night was just – and here's the thing, Brett. Everyone's obviously going to be talking about the streak, certainly in the next game and then, moving forward because it's now setting new ground. But I think, unfortunately, the streak – is going to overshadow the level of this year's team, the level that they are now playing at, including both ends, and some of these performances, which includes Gabby. I mean, certainly you and I have talked about, Collier and Samuelson, what they're now doing and stuff, but what Gabby Williams is turning into on both ends, she's just an absolute beast on both ends. The kid has turned into a legitimate playmaking forward. And here's the thing, Brett. While a totally different, model, at only 5'11", this kid now is like Breanna Stewart on the other end in terms of a game-wrecking defender because she's now blocking shots. She gets steals left and right. She's just so disruptive with her athleticism. This kid is a both-ends beast because she now makes the face-up jump shot. She certainly drives you. She's now a playmaker. She's there leading a kid and now makes point guard passes routinely. I mean, Gabby and just gives an absolute beast effort, and everyone's talking about the play she made diving out of bounds last night when they were up about 50. And I mean, Gabby Williams has absolutely turned into, especially after the first couple of weeks where she had some games where she was in foul trouble and stuff, she is one of the absolute best players in all of college basketball, both ends.
Well, I agree with you. But, see, here's the thing that people don't realize. See, I saw her play back in high school, and I'm just going to tell you, she played point guard on her high school team, all right? She could always pass the basketball, and Connecticut says she still doesn't shoot that good. Well, I used to see her make threes in the game, no problem. And so I don't know what happened or whatever to her, but she technically always played point. That's what she played. That's why she's – and so if you think about it, remember her first year, they played her at the four because they kind of had to. And
right.
That was tough for her, see, because she'd never really played the four. Yes, she posted people up as a guard, but she never played as a true power forward. And so now she's done that, but now she's kind of going out and using her passing ability and all that. But like Jose Fernandez, I know him real well, and he runs a ton of sets, okay, to get shots. And all UConn did was they switched to every screen. And when you switch every screen like that, and his team's not that athletic, they can shoot. That
exactly.
always presents problems for everybody.
And they have no size, which obviously is the one little bit of vulnerability for UConn. If you don't have size against UConn, I mean, those two forwards are just going to climb, score over you and rebound over you all day.
Right. And, see, that's the thing, too. So you got Collier, 6'2". You got Gabby, 6 foot, let's say, 6 foot, 6'1". You got Samuelson, 6'3". You got the point guard, she's 5'7" or 5'8". Yeah.
And Nurse
and
is
then
6 feet.
Chong. And Nurse is about 6 feet. So, see, what's the difference if a 6 foot girl switches on a 5'6" girl or she switches on a 6'1" girl? It doesn't matter, and they're athletic enough to do it, too. Is why it works. Sometimes in the NBA, you see these bigs switch off on these littles and they just abuse them because they can't stay in front of them, that's why they are so good. They don't have the height, but, they bring in, the big girl some, but basically they're all kind of the same size. Yeah, they're all kind of the same size, and that's a smart – because, see, if you try to play Jose Fernandez of South Florida and he runs all that stuff and high ball screens and do all that, and you try to stay with your man, they're eat your lunch. Okay. But they switched and it was just a difference in the game. It really was. They couldn't score and everything was contested. Yeah. And And you know, it was just that's what Gino did. I don't know. You're talking to a guy here that loves to switch. We've had success with it where I coached. And a lot of people don't like to do it. They're afraid of it because of mismatches. I wasn't, and we weren't. And we used to go with the mismatch. And so what? You know, you can adjust later because they're the ones that are going to have to make the adjustment, not you, more than likely, you know. Not unless you're switching off on a 6'6 girl or something. I think they'll continue to do that for a lot of teams.
And you know, I always try and be honest and candid, for at least from my opinion, and I still believe that women's basketball still, you know, in general across the board, across the country, still doesn't really, you know, take enough advantage of mismatches anyway. So I certainly, and I agree with you. I've had success with it, and to me, I'd rather dictate and take away, you know, open players, whether it be open shots and open players, than and not allow people to turn corners, you know, on ball screens and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, lastly, with the UConn thing, as an FYI to the rest of the country that maybe hasn't been watching as closely as we have, the bad news, too, is not only are they continually getting better in terms of their overall team chemistry on both ends of the floor, but you now have Tia Nurse looking as good as she's ever looked from the perimeter shooting the basketball. And you also have Sanaya Chung now surging with her perimeter shot as well. And so, you know, so they're just getting even more dangerous and explosive from the perimeter with their shooting. And as a little note, I'm sure you probably heard of it. Maybe everyone hadn't, but Crystal Dangerfield actually is going to be out for a couple of weeks, just precautionary over a little foot issue. They want to just, at this point in the schedule, they'd rather – I think he also wants to try and give Molly Benton some kids a little bit more time. But UConn is just, they are now at the point where, I tell you, they obviously don't have three first-round draft picks, at least for, you know, coming up in this WNBA draft. But they're at the level they're playing at right now, especially coming off last night, they're as good as last year's team, because that was one for the vault. On both ends, that was an incredible performance against a top 25 team.
Right. And you know what's funny? I kind of looked ahead, and I am fishing here or whatever, but they play South Carolina on their 100th game, okay?
Yeah.
So if they win that game, that would be 100. And if they would happen, you know, they could lose in the tournament. Now, don't get me wrong. But if they go through this season undefeated, when they get to next year, they're going to be better next year, okay? Because they get Azaree Stevens, and they get Batule, you know, Kamara back. And then Dangerfield will be the starting point guard. And I mean,
Megan
look out,
Walker,
you know,
and yeah,
Bill, they could rip off 150 wins. Now, I'm not saying it'll happen, but it could happen. 150.
There's no question that if they run the table this year and win it, you're talking at least 2 years of that type of that team, because they only lose Chong next year. And that whole that whole group basically returns pretty much the following year as well.
And Azaree,
I mean, they'll be dominant again the following year. Who?
Right. Azaree Stevens will be a starter next year.
No question.
I talked to one of their coaches, and they said in the scrimmage against the boys, Azaree dropped in 11 threes on Gabby and all of them in one scrimmage. So that's what she does, and that's why she likes. Gino will use her like that. He won't stick her down there on the block and leave her on there. She doesn't like that. She likes to be out. She's a Euro player, likes to face up, shoot the three. That's what she does best, and that's what she likes to do. So, it's just, you know, everybody said, hey, this is the year. If you want to get UConn, you better get them. Well, they haven't done it so far. I'm not saying that they can't in the tournament. But, you know, like you said, all these other kids, Molly Benton, all of them, they're going to get playing time now because they're going through the part of their schedule where that they can still beat everybody by as much as they want to beat them by. So he will play all these other kids. And you know, and if they don't play good, though, trust me, he won't play them because he's like that. So, but he'll try to give them more of an opportunity to play. So if they don't screw it up, then they'll get to play a lot. So.
Anyway, we'll wrap it up on that note. But once again, Brett, you know, really enjoyed it. It was good to get back with you again. Good to get everybody caught up on all the pledges out there, and then also you did a nice job with some with a handful of kids that you were able to see and get, you know, put some new names out there. I know I'm going to research two or three of these kids and see if I can also help promote them as well. But again, always a pleasure. You're such a blessing.
Yes, sir.
And then again, hopefully you'll have I know, like you said, you weren't exactly sure where you're headed. You know, this weekend, but you'll be once again out on the road, and hopefully we'll look to dial it up again.
Are you going to slip over to the Rose Classic any over the weekend?
Well, it depends on the college, because you talked about the coaches.
Yeah.
I'm getting the same way a little bit, where I'm getting so locked in and trying to, you know, promote the college game and watch as many games. But I tell you what, if you're going there, I'll definitely try and make an effort to get there. Because
I don't know. I would like to go there, but like I said, it's so hard. I'm going to Atlanta first, so I'm definitely going to see the number one 2018 player on Saturday, you know, Nelson Adoda.
Adoda.
You know, the big 6'5 kid from Atlanta. I'm definitely going to see her play. She plays Saturday, and there's other good kids down there too. But like I said, it's so hard to get from one place to the other.
Yeah.
So I have
to
drive all through the night to try to get up there. So I may end up just going to Classic in the country. It's closer. They got a lot of good kids up there in Ohio. So I don't know yet. I just know I'm going to Atlanta Saturday. That's all I know so far. And I'll be somewhere Sunday, and I'll be somewhere Monday. Just don't know where.
Yeah, so definitely keep me up there, especially if there's if some way that you might make it to that. Because if you're going, I'll definitely make an attempt. But I'm still up in the air. I try to always be on. Chances are I'll wind up probably bunkering down and watching as many games as I can college wise. Who knows? But again, thanks so much, Brett. For the hour and a half.
Okay, thank you, Coach Bill. Appreciate you, man.
And you too, Brett. Great job.
Have a good evening. See ya. Bye.
Thank you. All right, fans, there is Brett McCormick. And I say it all the time, but it needs to be said, just an absolute blessing for women's basketball. And, again, how about classic Brett McCormick? He didn't wind up making it to the New Year's resolution event in Jersey, but quickly switched gears and then made it to an event in Chicago. The guy is just relentless. And then another classic Brett McCormick was I throw a name out there on a kid. He had her not only in the system, but he gave you a rundown of the AAU team, another player, a notable player on the team, or, you know, a breakdown on that kid. And, it just simply does not get better than Brett McCormick. And Brett the Beast McCormick, because he is an absolute beast in terms of getting to events no matter where they are. The guy is relentless, you know, by car, by plane. He's going to get to an event and get some coverage through an end of a week and a weekend, and just a really great guy too. So thank you to Brett McCormick again for all he does for women's basketball and also for us here with my podcast at Ladies Night, and every once in a while he joins me on the Replay podcast as well. So again, another jewel performance from Brett McCormick, and we certainly wish everyone a safe rest of the week here as we continue to move into the January month and 2017 moving forward. But look for us again, probably same time, about the same point of next week for the next Ladies Night, as we'll have Brett with us again. Look to have Brett with us again and see, get a recap from him on what he was able to see over this upcoming weekend, and then also certainly any upcoming pledges that might pop over the landscape of women's basketball over the next few days. So hope everybody has a safe, pleasurable rest of the week, and we'll look to catch you next week here on Ladies Night. Take care, everybody. Coach Bill signing off.